Well, let's turn to 2 Corinthians 3:18. We've been talking a little, I've been talking about, at least when I was here, about being sold out to the Lord, and we talked a little bit about being faithful and how God wants us to be faithful to what the Lord has placed here at this body. And how each of us is to be conformed, not to a church, not to a denomination, not to a certain person, other than Jesus. It is a person, but it's Him, it's Christ. You know, and each of us is to be seeking after that. And that's what really is being taught here at the Prayer Center. How do we become conformed to the image of Jesus? It doesn't happen in one day. It doesn't happen overnight. But as Isaiah said, it's line upon line, precept by precept. Here a little, there a little. By continuing, that process of continuing with Him is really being sold out to Him. Amen? It is, because that process is going to continue in your life as you continue to fellowship with God through the Holy Spirit. Our teacher, our helper, our guide, our companion. But 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all with open face, beholding as a glass or a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." That nature that we receive from God is growing up, amen? It wasn't born full grown, just like you weren't born full grown. But there's that maturing process, and that's what we're continually speaking of, is maturing and developing into who Jesus says we are. Many times we know what He said we are, but we're possessing that. We know it in our mind. We believe it in our heart, as far as we know. Because I was thinking about this week, whenever I was filled with the Holy Spirit, I received a tape by an individual called Walking in the Spirit. And I began to pray in tongues, and I would pray an hour a day and started that prayer life, that life of praying in the Spirit. Yet, when I came to the prayer center, and everybody says, well, you knew that message. I'd been doing it for a number of years and still was developing in that and added more time, you know, as time went by. But then when God led us here to the prayer center, that revelation and that truth became more and more real to me, because the Holy Spirit was drawing and teaching us more and more of who Christ is in us. And then as you get to know Him, of course you want to spend more time with Him, right? Because He's so wonderful. It's just like when you're engaged to that lovely lady, man or woman, you found the man of your dreams, and you spend that time with them, and it's, you know, and they're talking on the phone, and of course you're dating, and we just saw each other, but as soon as you got home, you're on the phone talking to him again, because you wanted to hear their voice one last time before you went to sleep tonight. I'm home safe, honey. Just wanted to let you know. Now it changes and develops. Like Ellen said, the same 20 years later, the same guy gets up, says, "Good morning, honey." Gives her a little kiss and says, "There's more love in that than there was in all of the things that you'd done before," because you got to know the person. Because it's a mutual habitation. You are now dwelling with them. You got married and you're dwelling, and things continue to develop. And as we dwell and live with the Father, things develop. People say, well, I'm looking for the voice of God. And they're waiting for that thunder. You know, God didn't say anything yet, because we're looking outside. And God wants us to look inside where the kingdom is. It's on the inside of us. And as we get closer and closer to Him, His voice is so clear and so real, it seems like it's your voice. Sounds like you. Because your thoughts and your mind is becoming one with Him through the Holy Spirit as we spend time with Him. that voice becomes clearer and clearer. So we think about the thoughts that come to us. We think about the things that He is saying on the inside of us. So the importance of us developing into the image of Christ. This morning I'm kind of talking about how the Holy Spirit, the teacher, the helper, the strengthener, He's going to take us from where we are, wherever you are in your life, wherever you are in that process. It doesn't matter if you're just beginning or if you've been doing it for many, many years. He's still going to take you from wherever you are into the very perfect plan of God that He has for your life. And He is the one that knows how to get you there. If you already knew how to get there, you had already got there. But evidently, He has chosen in His wisdom to say, I have a plan that you don't conceive in your natural mind, but your heart can understand as you spend that time with me. Your heart can begin to grow. Your heart can begin to develop. The attitude of your mind can change from what it has been to what it is now. Because the things that have held you back begin to drop off because you're spending that time. You're now getting the mind of Christ. The very mind that He had planned before the foundation of the world for your life, for your ministry, for your call, for your place in the body of Christ, that you can transition from where you are now to where He has called you to fulfill the very destiny that God ordained before the foundation of the world. And it will take place if I won't stop fellowship with Him. And if I won't harden my heart against Him. Because sometimes we can fellowship with Him. And sometimes it seems like, you know, if a person, because people ask me, say, well, this guy's been praying in tongues a lot, and he just doesn't seem to make progress, but that's impossible if he doesn't quit. It's impossible. Because the Holy Spirit's going to get it across to you. He will get that plan across to you. Well, what do they need? I don't know what they need, but He knows what they need. And He knows what you need. Well, I'm spending a lot of, God's just had me in worship. And that may be right where you need to be. Somebody else may say, well, I've been just meditating the Word of God. Well, that may be right. That's just right where you need to be. Because it's going to take those things combined together. The Word, worship, prayer, fasting, seeking after the face and the plan of the Father to fulfill everything. And it comes, well, through that time with Him. It's going to come and develop on a consistent basis. And I know you all know this. We all know this. But it's going to happen. It's not, it can't not happen. Because He has promised us that we are praying a prayer that is perfect when we pray in tongues. I'm not talking about we need all kinds of prayer. We need them all. But when we are praying in tongues, the perfect mind of the Father is being prayed out for you and I to come to pass in our life. So that every step till the place that we come to, that every step we take is His purpose for us. Everybody says, is that possible? Is that possible? He said, we are to be conformed, not to the image of Brother Doug, not to the image of Pastor Dave, although we're to follow what Pastor Dave's doing. We're to do what the Bible says. He's just doing what the Bible has already shared with us, what God has already spoken. But we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Second Thessalonians 3:13 says, But you, brethren, be not well weary in well doing. Be not weary if we don't faint, he says. He said, we're not becoming weary. In other words, if you don't quit, if we don't stop, we're not weary in well doing. We'll just stop there. Be not weary in well-doing. Praise the Lord. That's a good verse. That's not the verse I was looking for. It's not the one I thought I marked, but that's the one it came to. But we're not going to be weary in well-doing, are we? Amen. I've shared that before. Also, Galatians chapter 6. Go there. He says, we're not to be weary in well-doing. And he's exactly talking about that. Many people say, well, let's go there for a minute. Galatians 6. But we're talking about the Holy Spirit is that helper. Okay? Let's look at verse 7. It says, Galatians 6, 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So he's saying, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Then verse 9, he goes on and says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we're going to reap if we faint not, if we don't stop. Well, that's what I was talking about. If the Holy Spirit, if we don't stop fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, it is impossible for you not to come to your due season, to that place in Him that He has called you to. I don't care if you made a lot of mistakes or a few mistakes. God's bigger than your mistakes. And the purpose of prayer is so that we don't keep making those mistakes. And so that we can change from glory to glory. So the next time I face that, maybe you made that mistake again. Keep praying until that mistake is out of your life. Until that problem, that stronghold, that fear, that worry, that care is gone from your life forever. Because this is an eternal change that takes place from the inside out. It's a permanent change. It's not a change that's going to be temporary, but it's something that's going to be with you forever. Once you come to that place that God removes that from your life, you've prayed yourself to that place, then the Holy Spirit has come and you've taken the Word of God and He's shown you and you've axed it out of your life. It is gone forever. There may be a time, it may be a process getting there, but once it's out of your life, it never is going to come back. Nobody can take it from you. They can't beat it back into you. The devil can't stop you with that ever again. Ever. I mean, I've shared before different things in my own life, and I thought, well, I didn't even know it was there in my life. I didn't know fear was ruling my life till I was 28 years old. I had fear dictating to me, talking to me. Well, didn't you love God? Yes, I loved God. I loved God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, I thought. The reason I said that is because just a couple months ago, God was telling me, will you give your mind to me? I said, well, I thought I did give my mind to you, Lord. But He didn't ask a question because He didn't know the answer. But He asked it for my purpose. And then as Gary, so I'd been praying and seeking, and Gary taught on about God's thoughts and God's ways are higher than our ways. It's not that we don't start thinking, but He's saying, I need you to change the way you're thinking about certain things in your life. So that when you see someone, I can say to them or I can ask them, well, would you like God to heal that for you? Would you like a miracle? Would you like that to change in your life? If they say yes, then you have the ability to pray for them. I mean, these are the things the Lord's telling me. I was taking a guy home and he said, I said, well, what's your condition? His feet are hurting him all the time and he can't hardly walk. And I mean, for long periods of time, he can get on one foot and the other one, and then he's resting that one on this little cart, and I had to give him a ride home one night. And the Lord said to me, He said, just ask Him if He wants. He was telling me the problem. His arches are broken or fallen. You know, He said, it's very painful. And I said, well, would you like new arches? I said, the Lord. He said, ask Him if He wants new arches. I said, would you like new arches? And of course, everyone's thinking naturally. Well, they don't make new arches any. I don't know if they can do that. I'm not sure if they can make a new arch for me. Talking about medical science. Which I'm not against medical science. It's wonderful, some of the things that they're able to do. I don't think the devil created it. God's done great things there. But we can do better. God can do better. Amen? Amen. He can make new arches. And these are the thoughts that are coming more and more. Hey, oh yeah, well, when the next sick person calls, well, I'll be over and God will heal you. You know, I mean, these are the thoughts that we are to... Well, these are the things that the Holy Spirit's been bringing to me. I'll say that. You know, that He wants those things accomplished, you know, through our lives. And sometimes people don't want prayer, and that's okay. I said, there's no rush. You know, God's going to be here tomorrow. You know, He didn't want me to pray for Him, huh? Okay. You know, you don't know the experience that some people have had. And we can't judge that experience. Because sometimes, maybe it wasn't all them, but someone in the church destroyed them or tried to destroy them or tried to harm them. You know, I remember, you know, like the guy at my job, he's very seeking. He's religious. He's looked at different religions, I should say. I call it seeking. I mean, I don't think he knows he's seeking, but... You know, and he said to me something about he's going home to get drunk or something like that. And I just said, out of my heart, I just said, well, I don't condemn you. He says, and he almost began to cry. You know, I saw tears begin to well up within him. Because sometimes people, we forget. He said, I came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. Jesus said, I didn't condemn them. Salvation's already available to you. Of course I tell him that. He knows that. I've already talked to him a little bit. You know, I say, come with me, you know. I said, we can get drunk in the Holy Spirit. Drunk in the Holy Ghost, you know. Oh, I knew you'd say something like that, but then I don't condemn you. I don't condemn you. And people don't really know what to do about that. You see, love never fails. His love. And it's not that you're saying it's okay. It's not that you're participating with them. Some people say, well, I'm trying to win them to Jesus. I'm going to have a drink with them. And, you know, and that's fine, you know, but they don't respect you. They don't think you're really real. They don't think you love God. I'm not telling you it's wrong to drink, but when someone's saying that to you and you're trying to do that to be a friend to them, you know, and that's their stronghold in their life, I don't think that's being a friend. That's just displaying that, you know, I'm trying to, you know, I don't fit in with you so that maybe I'll get to talk to you. Anyway, I won't get into all that, but, you know, I'm not telling you not, you know, I know the Bible says you can have a little wine. I know that's what the Bible says. But I've even found very many people that got involved with drinking alcohol that was successful. You know, or maybe they became successful and they weren't very glad that they were successful. They were successful at becoming an alcoholic. Anyway, I don't want to get on all that, but praise the Lord. It's good anyway because it's true. It only starts with one drink, right? Well, Brother Doug, you ever get drunk? Nope. Never been drunk in the natural, but I've been drunk in the Holy Ghost. That's a whole lot better. Because I've seen people, what happens to them after that. And it wasn't anything pretty. Anyway. I don't know why I'm on that right there. But praise the Lord. Colossians 1. Let's go there for a minute. Let's go to verse 24. Start there in the middle. Paul's talking here. He's writing about himself a little bit to the Colossians. And I was thinking I could read this whole chapter, but I'm just going to stop here. Start here in 24. It says, who now? He's talking about continuing in the faith. Verse 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for the body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore I'm made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which has been hidden for ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in us, he says, is that great mystery that you've received. When you receive Christ, Christ in us, that hope of glory. We're talking about being changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And as the Holy Spirit takes together with your spirit, and we continue to pray out that plan for our life, then we are changed into that same glory as Jesus carried around on this earth. And that same glory that's in him is in us and will begin to manifest itself through us in demonstrations of power, in demonstrations of love, in demonstrations of giving. Whatever that call is in your life begins to come forth. I mentioned the last time I was up here, a friend of mine that he just loves to give. He's got the grace of giving in his life. And God just, you know, you see him give something, he just gets excited. He's full of joy. He just can't wait till the next service so I can give something to God financially and to see other souls won into the kingdom. His purpose isn't to get more money for me. Hallelujah. And that's coming forth too. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're seeing that more and more. We see people here with the worship in their life. I'm not the worship leader because if I got up to sing, it wouldn't be pretty. You know, I'm not saying that I can't worship. I do worship. And I probably could lead us in worship, but it wouldn't be God's best because that's not the place that God put me. But I appreciate these gifts because they help me. They minister to me. I was strengthened this morning by the worship that was already here, that was going on and that we could enter into. Hallelujah. Because I want to see that glory come in. I want to see that glory in me change from glory to that next place of glory that God has for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. All right, praise the Lord. Let's go to John 16, 13. Talking about how the Holy Spirit, our helper, the strengthener that's on the inside, is changing us from this glory to the next place of glory in our lives. Because we're all going to face challenges and we're going to face strongholds that the enemy wants to try to keep us down. He wants to hold you back. His attack is not small right now. In the body of Christ, when we look at the entire body of Christ, we see so many things. So much. Let's see if I can even sit down, Lord. So much desire. I think there's some desire in people's hearts. But there's so much, how do you explain that, Lord? The way I see it is, I guess, we see so much error that takes place in people's lives because they're hungry for God, but they don't know what the truth is. Because we haven't seen a whole lot of things. So then when something comes that looks so real, people, I think many innocently run to it to see, oh, this has got to be God. I got to have something. I want my problem solved. I want my child healed. I want my life to change. This must be it. Oh, let the feathers fall on me. I don't, I don't know why I'm getting off on that either. But it seems that all the spectacular things, that's what people are looking, is into the spectacular, and we fail to look at the real that's already on the inside of us, the hope of glory that's already been born again from the Spirit of God. You've already received a nature that can be taught of Him, and that nature can develop to that place where that glory can be brought forth. And you can see that. And you can know Him. You can know Him just like Jesus knows Him. He said that the same love would be in them, Father, that's in me. The same love is in them that's in me. The same manifestation of my love and my power to be brought forth into the earth through them that's in me. And a lot of times people are worried. We're running off to save the world with what? You know, word debates. You know, the Bible says we aren't supposed to, you know, I'm not debating anybody about words, but if I can't show what God wants to do, what do I have? Jesus came to show and to tell the works of the Father. He said, I do those things I see my Father do. I'm saying those things I hear my Father say. You're a child of God. People, you're born of God. And that truth in itself, so many times people say, well, I know I'm born again. I've been changed. I got a new nature. Oh, yeah, I'm happy, happy. I just stay in the Spirit, brother. I'm telling you, I'm just always in the Spirit. I'm so young, they're so drunk in the Spirit. I'm just here and I'm just there. But there's nothing of substance until we know Him and we are confident in Him. I don't have to jump and scream and get real loud because I can say, brother, be healed, be whole, inside out. You know, there's just as much hurt inside as there is on the outside. And most of the time, much more. People are broken. They're running to everything. Why do you think, you know, I don't think people just, you know, there's a motivation that comes, you know, for people to wear their life out. They'll wear their self out for what we call money. But we run our life after the temporary goal, after something that's going to pass away one day. And people stay day and night. They'll work 16 hours and we'll even do it. Well, I can't make it to church tonight. I have to work. And I'm not against work. I'm not saying that it's not important. We need to work. We should do those things. But when we get to the place where we're running after it so hard and so strong that someone says, I'm going to the next city. The Bible says, don't say I'm going to spend a year there and get wealth and gain. If the Lord will. If the Lord will. When we can spend that time with the Father and one idea from Him can make you a millionaire overnight. Or billionaire, and you don't care because you know Him and you're willing to say, I have got the funds for you to go and preach the gospel. Now go. I want those souls to my account. The Father has blessed me and I'm happy to give it. I'm thrilled and overflowing because I don't have to have it because it's not a security to me because there's no security in this earth. Okay? It's not the security in this earth. There's only a security in one place. That's when we put our treasure in heaven. A lot of times we keep talking about, you know, a lot of times we do talk about, you know, where their treasure is, there their heart will be also. And I think that's true when people give their money to the gospel. But it's also, where is our treasure? The treasure that God's given us. What about the things that He's given you in time? In life, in love, in peace. Those treasures that He's given us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. So we are a treasure also when we give our lives to Him. And when we lead people to Jesus, they're our treasure. Amen? Because they're going to be there forever. That's our treasure that we're laying up in store for us. Hallelujah. But the Holy Spirit is that helper. He's the one that's going to take us from where we are, where we need to be. And I've been talking, like I said, about being faithful, about being committed to God, about doing it God's way. Because a lot of times we get to, you hear people say, well, I'm seeking after God, but they want to do it their way. But Jesus did set a way to seek after him. He said, if you don't deny yourself and follow me, if you don't love everything else less than me, you cannot be my disciple. Not maybe, but you can't be. Well, I can have everything in this world has to offer and know Jesus. I'm not saying you can't know him. You can't walk with him to a degree. I didn't say you're not going to go to heaven, but you're not going to possess what God desired for your life without seeking after him. Luke 14. I was looking for my marks here. Talked about that last week. But verse 26 said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother. And this is interesting because verse 25 says, and there's a great multitude with him. And he turned and he said unto them, if any man come to me. So here's this great multitude. They're walking along. And so they're already with him. The multitude's already with Jesus. And then all of a sudden, it'd be like if we're walking together, you know, you turn and you say, hey, if you come to me, you're already here. So what's he talking about? He said, come to me. Well, he's talking about the born again experience. He said, any man that's born again that comes to me and hates not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And we talked about that a little bit the last time, that we can be followers of him, but are we really sold out to him? Are we committed to him? Are we his disciple? Disciple is the one that's the disciplined follower. And and so that's the disciple. Are we disciplining ourselves to follow after him? Because we want to fulfill what he purposed for our life. And there's no greater fulfillment in your life than when you fulfill what he placed in your life. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is going to take us to that place. He is the helper. He's the one God sent alongside of you. Jesus said, it's needful that I go away so that I can send the comforter, the helper, the one just like myself that's going to walk with you and take you by the hand and lead you into everything that you are in Christ so that you can be fully complete in him. Not in myself, not in what I know, not in somebody else, not in what I think is right, but what he said, fully in Christ, completed in him, built up in him, strengthened in him, so that the same glory that's in Christ, which dwells in me, continues to come forward by the Holy Spirit. John 16:13. Did I read that? Don't think so. John 16:13. Let's go there for a minute. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. For he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. How can God glorify Jesus more? How is he going to glorify Jesus more? He's going to do it through you. you and I. We're going to bring him that glory. Because that same glory that was in him was in us. That same glory is changing us. The Holy Spirit's changing us from that same glory that we started with to more of that glory. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the Holy Spirit works in us to bring about an increasing level of that glory. And just because we got born again doesn't mean we fully attained to that. Adam and Eve walked into glory in Genesis chapter 3, didn't they? They were clothed in that glory. And that same glory that they were clothed in is on the inside of you and I. It's on the inside of you if you're born again. If you're not born again, we can get that glory in you. Hallelujah. That nature, that life that comes from God. I mean, we're not going to be, we'll never be deity, but we will be like Him. Just like Him. The same kind of nature Jesus had that you were born with by God. You had the same life that Jesus had on him that he was in this earth that's in you. And that very life will come to that place. That very life has that potential, has that glory resident within it, and it's in you. That same glory that Jesus had. So as we mature in Christ, as we grow in Him, as we fellowship with Him through the Holy Spirit, that nature and that life continues to mature, continues to manifest more and more and more and more. As we allow Him to destroy anything, or to put to death, I should say, we put to death anything that's stopping Him from reaching through us to bring His life to somebody else. Because that life is so full of power, so full of love, so full of the miraculous. It's everything that God is. That's the glory of God. All that God is lives in you. That's why you can be like Him. You're not going to be Him, but you can be just like Him. And you already are. You're made in His image, created in the image of Christ. If I have a little baby, then my baby is created in my image. A child is created in my image. God caused us to be born of His Spirit, created in His image, just like Him. That is what we are to be doing, is pressing forward and to be conformed to that image. The Holy Spirit's been sent to help us do that. And why? Because I said earlier, many people would, but they don't have a clue. They really don't have a clue. How am I going to do that? That's why God said, I've sent my Holy Spirit to help you. I've already mentioned that, but John 17:22 said the same glory that's in Him. Said verse 22, just next chapter over. John 17:22, and the glory which Thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I remember the Holy Spirit revealing that to me when I was first filled with the Holy Spirit. I began praying in tongues, and it was just, it's not something that I really had read much, but he was just sharing, we're one. You and I are one, son. You're a son, you're an heir. I didn't have it to the degree I do now by any means. Hadn't heard anything about the Born Again Trail yet. But that truth began to resonate on the inside. That one with the Father. Through what? That nature that he gave us. Through that life that he placed within you. And then the Holy Spirit comes alongside to teach you to overcome everything that tries to hold you back from a 100-fold completely walking in that full ministry that he's laid out before you. If we don't know, he says, be renewed that we're going to come to the place that we know. That this is where God has set me, because he can't do anything else other than what he said, other than what he destined in your life. That's going to begin to come forward as we spend that time in him and with him. Because we're going to have to realize, if we're going to go there, then we're going to have to fellowship in that glory. You're going to have to fellowship. You're going to have an intense relationship with that glory. You're going to have to begin to dwell with that glory. You know, a lot of people get saved and they're, you know, they got Jesus in their life. They've received the Lord. They have a walk with God. But they don't really, you know, it's kind of like people that dated and never, you know, but they never really got married or moved in together. They just keep dating all the time. They got a date with God. Next Sunday, I'm going to go with God. And then the rest of the week, I do what I want. And then, you know, that's my Sunday. You know, that's my date with God. It's good. It feels good. I get to feeling better. And that becomes their life. You know, and they get a little bit tastes of how much God really cares. And yeah, God's in me. And, you know, it's all there, you know, but it's not a vital part of their life. It's just a... I'm not trying to diminish somebody getting born again by any means, but they don't know. They haven't really realized what they had received. When we realize what we've received when we were born again, and how much more we get, and the power that we receive when we receive the Holy Spirit, that power to cause us what? To become that child of God that we've been created to be. He's going to take us and lead us into that mystery of the glory of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is in us. He is dwelling with us. You have been made a son. I am an heir with God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ, until that is living in you to that place where it must manifest itself. It can't help but manifest, because that's all you know. That's all you're thinking about. That's what changes me. That's what caused me to walk with him. Because I know, as I'm walking with him, he's going to say, here, now. Oh, you're sick? Let me pray for you. I've had several people healed, but I've had people that didn't want prayer. And I've had people that weren't healed. But I'm not going to stop walking with him. I'm not going to stop that process, because I know. I mean, there's things where, I remember a guy had a rash and the Lord told me to pray for him. I mean, his rash disappears and he's all excited, and I'm all excited because God did it. And a lot of times those things happen and people's hearts open to God. And that's what we're looking for, where their heart is then open to God, and what God really wants is them. He said, what I really want is that relationship with them. What I'm really longing for is that fellowship with that person. Because I've come to believe and realize it's not hard for God to do miracles. That's one of the easiest things there is, because that's who he is. He just wants to do them. wants those things. But more than that, He's looking for the hearts of men that will seek after Him so that He can have His revival, so that He can do it His way, so that He can manifest His power, so that souls are won into the kingdom of God. It's not about getting power so that God just gets to do something. He's doing something for a reason. I remember the guy that Dave, I was right over there in the line, Dave had been praying for people, and he said, this is going to result in more power. And how many have heard that before? You know, well, I heard that, nothing happened, that's okay. I had too. But this particular was a Sunday, and he said, oh, that's going to result in more power. This was, I hadn't been coming here very long, and well, maybe a year or two. That's quite a while, but it's not that long. We were living in an apartment at the time, and I came home, and I may have told this before, but this guy is standing out there, and he's holding his wrist like this, you know, I said, well, what's wrong? You hurt yourself? Oh, I broke my thumb. I'm pretty sure it's broken. It's just hurt so bad. I said, well, just a minute. I'll be right back. And I went in the apartment. My wife and I were opening the door, and I put my Bible down, came back out. I said, well, I'll pray for you. God will heal you. Of course, the guy in the truck says something, you know, well, you know, whatever. You know, if he wants, you know, I could tell his attitude was, you know, if the man upstairs, you know, does something for you, fine, you know, but I could tell he wasn't in great faith. So anyway, I prayed for the fella, and I said, the same life, see, that's in Jesus is in me. Just set your hand on there. Just put your hand there. He put his hand on my hand, and I don't know, maybe 10 seconds, maybe less. He starts moving his thumb. He says, well, it doesn't hurt. It's healed. It's cured. Guy comes out from the truck. He peeks around. I'm sure glad you know the man upstairs. You know, and this guy's here, and he says, you know, I really need to get my life right with God. This happened, that happened. This is what the real problem is. Yeah, this is something that hurt, but this is the real hurt. My heart's broken. I know I need to get back to church. I got to get back to God. And he's crying, and we're praying, and God's trying to restore someone. Because I've seen that open the heart of men, which God is after. And so when we want to argue about a certain situation, arguments only go so far. And it comes to a place where they're saying, well, he's in pride, you know, he just doesn't, you know. No, you may or may not be, but an argument isn't going to change you. But when you have an experience with God, when we know Him, when we take the time and we begin to worship Him ourselves, and He comes and He touches you and you realize He loves me. It's one thing for somebody to say, and we know in our mind, in our own mind, everybody knows God loves me. You know, you tell somebody God loves you. Well, that's great. I'm glad He loves me. That's, you know, they go on. That's great. And it's important. People need to know God loves them. But if you tell them that, if I tell you, hey, God loves you, it's one thing. When you come and tell me, God loves me. Because you took the time. And you developed in Him through the Holy Spirit. You spent time in worship. You spent time praying in tongues. And that truth began to rise up in your heart. And it became so real in you, you had to tell somebody. I'm telling you, God loves me. Remember when Dave came out? God is so good. Why was God so good? Because he realized, again, afresh, anew. God says, my mercies, he's new every morning. It's constantly changing. Constantly changing within us. We're constantly realizing how good He is and how much gooder He wants to be. I know that's not a real English word, but we can make up words here. I got that from Pastor Dave. He told me I could make up words. We can make up words. Amen. Hallelujah. Only because my vocabulary is limited. That's why I need the Holy Spirit. Because I don't have all the answers myself. Hallelujah. But I've got someone that lives in me that's ready and able to bring that answer to me. If I'll spend time praying in that supernatural language that He has given us, that will take us to that place, praying out the perfect mind of the Father, the perfect plan of God to everything that Christ is in us. And that's my next verse. Wow. Amazing. Romans 8, 28, 26. You know, we don't know how to pray as we ought. Romans 8, 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, our inability. We can't produce a result. Why? I'm limited. I cannot make it happen. Have you ever tried to make something happen? I promise you, I've tried to make things happen before. He's healed. Come on. Lift him out of the chair. Drag him around, Lord. Come on, Lord. He's here. It's going to happen. Come on, take him around one more time. You know, and they bring him around, and, you know, pretty soon his pants are dragging down, and everybody's, you know, they came back to the next service to see what stupid thing you're going to do next, seemingly. But you keep praying. You keep seeking God. I'm not saying that people shouldn't ever do a thing like that if God's telling you. But keep seeking God so that the next time I have that opportunity. As Pastor Dave shared, he's been seeking God. They threw the crutches down and the guy ran off, running. See it. Start seeing it happen. So the next time I pray, they're running around the building. And people's lives are changed. People are running to the altar to find who? God. I want that Jesus that you have. Whew. Thank you, Father. He helps us. When I don't know how to produce a result, the Holy Spirit's going to take me there. Verse 26. We're reading it. I didn't get through it. He helps our infirmities. Our inability to produce that result. He's going to come alongside us. We don't know. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groans which words cannot be uttered. And He that searcheth the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Because He makes intercession for the saints according to the perfect will of God. The mind of God. What God had in mind for you before the foundation of the world. And if you're lost and you don't know which way to turn, and you love Jesus and you're hungering for the truth and for revival, the Holy Spirit is a large part of your answer. He's an answer that He'll come to you. And if you receive the Holy Spirit, begin to pray in other tongues. Spend that time with Him. Fellowship in that glory. That same glory that's in you. It's in Jesus, is in you. When we get that relationship with Him through the Holy Spirit, He's going to take you into that place that God has placed for you. That's the plans that God has. That plan will never change. It's the way God set it up. It's the way God wants it to be done. You see, He has set out in His Word a way to seek after Him. He has set out in His Word. I mean, like Pastor Dave says, see, I didn't understand that always. When I first came, I really didn't. I thought I did. You know, but I really didn't understand that He has a plan that you don't know about yet. You know, because the mind keeps working. He said, why would God make a way and not tell you how to get there? I thought, well, I thought he did tell me, you know, he did tell us in the Word. But our personal lives also have a plan. And that Holy Spirit comes and takes the Word of God and puts it with, and as we put it within us, and he mixes it together with the plan that God has for our life, and we come out that glorious Son of God, full of glory, full of power, full of life, able to go forth and destroy the works of the enemy and to destroy all of his power, which Jesus already destroyed. But we're enforcing that destruction, and we're saying, no, you're not going to have the rest of the world ever. We're taking over. Because Jesus is in us, in all power and all glory, because I am a son, and I can know him, and I can walk with him, and I can fellowship with him in all its fullness. And as I know him, I begin to become complete in him. I begin to become begin to understand exactly what he wants me to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Amen.